Well, you talk about a weird swing the last couple of years. 2 years ago, I believe it was, two full hockey seasons ago, not one Canadian-based NHL team made the playoffs. It's terrible, especially terrible for Canadian sports broadcasters. This station, one of them, of course, just what do you do? There's no Canadian teams. It's really bad. Last year, 5 of 7 make. Ottawa makes a late run in the playoffs. And there was, generally speaking, outside the Vancouver Canucks maybe, a real good vibe about all the franchises. We fast forward to this season, just passing the halfway point, boys, and all of a sudden that vibe is not nearly as good. We'll save the better surprises. I mean, I don't know how big a surprise the Winnipeg Jets are, but how well they're playing and the fact they have a playoff spot for later. Let's talk about some of the teams, and the Leafs, of course, we've already discussed. Let's talk about the other five teams and where they are, and in particular, the Montreal Canadiens, who at times have tried to, you know, get the mojo back and get going. And they're not completely out of it, but they got a major hole to dig out of if they're going to even qualify for the playoffs. Ryan, what's the deal in Montreal? What has gone wrong there? And is this a quick fix, or should they really think it, you know what, you got to try to do something different?
I really do think they're at a crossroads when you look at the roster and the age of some of the guys. What went wrong? I mean, you have to go back to the summer where two guys who really loved playing in Montreal, two guys at, you know, different points in their career, but Alex Radulov and Andrei Markov, both UFAs. I think, you know, if you talked to anyone 6 weeks before July 1, they would have said it was almost certain both guys would be back in some fashion. And Mark Bergevin makes his take it or leave it offers, and both guys decide to go somewhere else. And it certainly sounds like in the case of Markov, he was stung by the way he was treated. And, you know, the only NHL team he'd ever played for, it was to the point where he decided he'd rather play in the KHL. Those two guys were just such a huge part of what the team did last year offensively. Markov still just such a smart puck mover from the blue line. And, you know, Radulov and Montreal seemed just like a marriage made in heaven. He's such a passionate guy, creative player. So coming into this season without those two guys, man, the defense was really, really bleak, and the forwards weren't a whole lot better. You know, they've tried Jonathan Drouin at center because they felt like they had to, moving their top prospect, Mikhail Sergachev. Don't look at what he's done in Tampa, Montreal fans, if you want to feel any better about your life. things just haven't, nothing has come together, right? Pacioretty and Drouin, no chemistry there. And in some ways, I would say specifically with the defense, it's just been exactly what people would expect, which is not very good. So now you get onto your bigger picture question. Is this a retool? Is this a rebuild? I know Eric Engels was on Sportsnet, and he, you know, he knows as much about that team as anyone covering it, saying, well, there's a world where you've got your cornerstones in Price and Shea Weber, and, you know, the Canadians do have some young players on the roster that you think you could build around. But I mean, other than the fact that in today's NHL, you can sort of come down and come back up, as the Leafs has shown, I think you can do it quicker now than previously because it has become such a young man's league. If you nail some draft picks, and maybe we'll talk a little bit about Vancouver at some point and how, you know, if you nail a couple first rounders like Brock Besser and Elias Pettersson, then it's doable. But my issue with the Canadiens is, and sticking with the back end, Shea Weber is going to be 33 when the puck drops on next season. When they made that trade now almost 2 years ago, we knew that was the franchise doubling down on the here and now. And whatever you thought of the way Weber plays and whatever you think of the way Subban plays, you knew that Weber had a shorter shelf life. So we're now going to rip through the first 2 years of his career in Montreal. And they didn't win the Stanley Cup last year, and they're definitely not winning it this year. And if you know a reason why they're going to win it next year, you know way more about this than I do. So I just don't necessarily know that Shea Weber is a guy you can look at and say, well, he's going to anchor the defense for, you know, the next 3 to 5 kind of thing. So honestly, when I see a guy like Pacioretty, who's going to be a UFA in 2019, I think even if the Canadiens did get it together here, there's a case to be made that they probably are better off trying to trade Pacioretty than keep him because of His age, he's 29. They've been looking for centers forever. He's a great winger, but he is a winger and doesn't really fill that need. And he's been on a sweetheart deal. Now you're going to have to pay him a ton of money to be on a team that I don't think truly has a chance to win. So a mild rebuild, no doubt. And I absolutely, if I'm Jeff Molson at the top of the food chain there, I am waking up going, everything is on the table. Absolutely everything is on the table.
But my question is do you trust Marc Bergevin to make that trade?
Well, everything is on the table, including changing the GM, I would say.
Because I'm glad you brought up Radulov, because I don't think that gets brought up enough. I mean, everybody knew that the Habs struggled to score last year. So they make the move for Drouin, but, you know, they struggled to score with Radulov in the lineup last year as well. So you're bringing in Drouin, but you're losing Radulov. And then Bergevin made him a good offer to come back, and he decided to go to Dallas, where he's doing quite well right now. But, you know, with him bringing in Drouin and then still making that contract offer to Radulov, he's showing the fan base, telling the fan base that we need more guys on offense. And then once Radulov went elsewhere, he did nothing to bring in more scoring. It was like, let's sign Alex Hemsky on a bargain deal. So I think it was really telling to the fan base that, you know, here you are with your GM who knows there's a problem, and he's admitting as much by bringing in Drouin and making that offer to Radulov, and he's done nothing to fix it. And then, you know, Carey Price gets off to a slow start. You lose Markov. It's really just been the perfect storm of bad news for Montreal this year.
Well, I'll tell you my thoughts, guys, that the Montreal Canadiens are the new Toronto Maple Leafs. And that's, I don't mean that in a positive way whatsoever. They are acting like the Leafs did for a lot of years. We can't rebuild. We're the Montreal Canadiens. You mentioned fan base a pile of times, Mark, and you're right. The Toronto Maple Leafs made a significant firing 2 years ago. They fired the fans from running the team. They brought in Mike Babcock with a ridiculous contract. They brought in Lou Lamoriello at 75, however old he is, and all his experience. And they decided for once, the guys are going to run the team, not the fans. And the Leafs bloody stunk for a year, as we all saw. They got lucky, whatever, Matt, whatever. But they were not afraid to go about their business. And even today, Mike Babcock's the same thing. We're all complaining about Mike Babcock playing Roman Polak or whoever it is. Mike Babcock doesn't care what we think and is not going to operate. Back to the Habs. The Habs are in a situation. We can't do it. We're the Habs. We've locked up Price for 10 years, so we have no choice. And we made Weber for Subban, and the difference is 6 years between those guys, so we have no choice. I would suggest to you, yes, they do. You always have a choice if you are willing to have the guts to say, okay, it didn't work. They're not going to. They are not going to do that. They're going to find, and as Eric puts out, and I'm not saying it's a reasonable enough, hey, look, you got Carey Price in goal, and he's playing well, and Shea Weber, I'm a fan of his. You got some pieces, so maybe it's fixable quite a way, but that's the way the Leafs operated, guys, forever. Just a little fix. Here, put this guy in. Let's try this guy. We're the Leafs. People will not. And what they found out is when they had the guts to finally blow it up, the fan base went,
thank God.
Okay, yeah, it's about time.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Couple thoughts there. Number one is, what's your end goal? I mean, could the Canadians make some changes and get back in the playoffs next year? Sure. But are they going to be a team that can win four rounds and win the Stanley Cup for the first time in basically 30 years? No, I don't think so. So that's the thing is, if we're talking about just getting the Canadians back to being competitive, okay, sure, I guess you don't have to blow it up. But aren't you talking about trying to win the Stanley Cup? Absolutely. So I agree, Raj, that, you know, you have to make those tough, tough decisions, and you do always have a choice. That's right. You have to get creative, and you have to bite down and say, you know, we all live in the real world here, fans, and there are good times in life and bad times, and we're in a down cycle, and when Bergevin took over, it was a younger, much younger Carey Price, and Subban was young at that time, and those were the cornerstones, and it never happened. And Max Pacioretty was in his early 20s, and it never happened with that core. And now that, you know, some of that core has been moved out, and they're all older. And yeah, I don't see, just with the sort of pillars they have in place right now, I just don't see it happening.
And we can analyze Subban for Weber till we're blue in the face. That trade will just always define the two players, but I mean, Shea Weber has to be in the lineup for that trade to pay dividends. He's been really banged up. They give Victor Mete to the Canadian junior team. So they've been really struggling just to stay healthy and have some able bodies on that back end. So Carey Price isn't getting a lot of help. And I think the key guy is really Alex Galchenyuk, because he's a guy that's young enough that I think some other teams might have interest and maybe you can get something back for him. But I just think his time has kind of run out in Montreal. It's been a few seasons there now that he's been there, drafted third overall. And he's kind of been in that, should I play wing, should I play center type dilemma. So he's a guy that I can see them moving on from in the offseason.